93.1 FM, 792 medium wave and online. BBC Radio 4.
It's 7 o'clock. Good morning. Welcome to The Breakfast Show on Tuesday, the 2nd of May, with Theresa Craig.
And Anna Quigley. Good morning. The headlines. A Scottish surfer missing for more than 30 hours in the Irish Sea is rescued off Rathlin Island.
We're absolutely over the moon that it's been a successful outcome, and that we do think that had he not been found before nightfall, that he wouldn't have been found alive. So he is extremely lucky.
And a fresh search for the remains of an Uri man abducted from Paris and murdered by Republicans over 30 years ago begins in France this morning.
I'm Barry White with The Sport. It's another crucible victory for Mark Selby as he defends his snooker world title.
What a win for Mark Selby. That's his third world title in 4 years, and he becomes the Betfred 2017 world champion.
Liverpool take a step closer to securing Champions League football, and Institute will continue their Premiership promotion bid against Ballyclare Comrades tonight.
Also this morning, there are new calls for compensation for victims of IRA attacks that used Libyan weapons, and...
Well, it's a bit early in the morning, I have to say, but it's good that they've got two flights. Yeah, no problem at all. Looking forward to it.
Get ready for takeoff. We're live at City of Derry Airport as the first BMI flights to London take to the skies. BBC Radio 4 in online, digital and FM. Dean McLaughlin has the news.
A Scottish surfer missing for more than 30 hours in the Irish Sea has been rescued.
Now, straight away to those fresh searches for the remains of an Uri man abducted from Paris and murdered by Republicans over 30 years ago. They will begin this morning in northern France. 32-year-old Seamus Ruddy was teaching in the French capital when he was killed and his body was secretly buried by the INLA in 1985. His sister Anne Morgan says she's hopeful that Seamus's remains will be found this time round.
The searches have taken place in France on three other occasions, and the last occasion was 2008, and at that time I went over to France, you know, for that. We have never been given a search which has lasted more than 6 days. This search now, we have been told, will last at least a month, and we're encouraged by that because that's time may give our Seamus back to us. We always felt through the years that, you know, we were never given a full search in France, but this is our opportunity now to really try and find them. And if the information now is correct, hopefully we will bring him home and we will bury him in Uri. So it would mean so much to us to reunite my mother and father and with Seamus, and at least we would have a place to go to mourn him.
We'll hear more from Anne at 8 o'clock. Jeff Knupfer is the lead forensic scientist from the Independent Commission for the Location of Victims' Remains. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Well, you can just hear there how difficult it is for this family, for the family of Seamus Ruddy, and also others who still haven't been found. And it's 30 years now since Seamus has gone missing, 32.
It is. And that obviously makes any search more difficult, more of a challenge. We always look for fresh information, for accurate information, but asking people to think back 30 or even 40 years in some of the other cases is always going to be difficult. And of course, memory fades over the years, terrains change. And in this particular case, for example, it's in the middle of a forest and all the trees have been cut down in this particular location. So asking people to remember what it was like at the time is difficult. There's no two ways about it.
So a very, very intensive search started. You've got to remember, we're looking for a guy wearing a black suit in the water. So extremely hard to try and locate.
Needle in a haystack, really?
Oh, completely. And again, details were so sketchy because I think he'd went surfing at 11:30, I believe, on Sunday morning. And it was obviously 24 hours later that, or even more, that the alarm was raised.
Hope must have been fading fast for him to be found alive at that stage.
Yeah, I mean, we follow a very sort of intensive search pattern with the three lifeboats sort of searching a parallel search, stretching a leg of one of those searches is stretching about 15 miles. So it was extremely difficult. Luckily, the Coast Guard helicopter then was also searching in the area along with us. And just around 7:30 last night, we were actually very close to where the guy was picked up. The helicopter spotted him in the water. I think it was extremely lucky. I know his body temperature had gone down to about 30 degrees. So, you know, the Coast Guard helicopter crew took him immediately to Belfast, which was the closest hospital. And I think they had him in Belfast in some 15 minutes.
So when you think about it, he clung. So he left, he went surfing on Sunday morning and you found him at 7:30 on Monday night. So he was overnight on that water clinging to his surfboard.
Yeah, I think luckily he was wearing the right kit. He had quite a thick wetsuit on him. Certainly at 7:30 last night, sea conditions were deteriorating. I know it was very cold when we were on our run back to Cushendall last night. We were in sort of 1-2 metre seas. You know, there's no way he would have survived another night.
And have you made this trip before?
Several times, yes, with Ryanair when it was operating out of here.
And is this trip today going to be more beneficial for you from Derry to London, or...?
Well, it's a bit early in the morning, I have to say, but it's good that they've got two flights. Yeah, no problem at all. I'm looking forward to it.
And how has your service been so far this morning?
Very welcoming, I have to say. Champagne in the morning might be a bit early, but two cups of coffee should put that in the head.
And what is your reason for your trip today?
Business. Returning this evening.
And you're returning this evening. What time is the flight this evening?
It lands back at 8:45.
So that's handy for you, is it?
Yep, it's very local. It's a lot less travel.
A lot less travel. And do you think this service will be beneficial to you, you know, in your line of work?
Yep, it'll cut down a bit of travel. And in and out in the one day is very helpful.
I'm en route to Bodrum. I'm going for 3 months.
Yeah. And do you think you'll benefit from this new service from City of Derry Airport?
Yeah, well, TC have pulled the flights to Bodrum from Belfast, so this is a connecting flight from Stansted to Bodrum.
Well, hopefully she's staying away from the champagne at 8:20 this morning, and she's still at the airport. Carly, you're not on that flight, are you? It took off at about 7, I think, this morning.
I'm not. Good morning, Teresa. Yes, that's right. I'm actually back in the business lounge now at the City of Derry Airport. Those travellers who we spoke to this morning just before they left a flight to London Stansted should now have arrived at their destination. This replacement flight to Stansted that started this morning was welcomed by the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, who said the UK government worked closely with the Derry City and Strabane District Council to protect this important route to the City of Derry Airport. And just under £4 million of government funding will allow 13 return flights to connect Derry and London every single week.
That's Joe Scythe and the games people play, starting our programme on this fine Tuesday morning. Good morning and welcome to the show. Our telephone number, as ever, is 030-3080-5555. Welcome back, Sian. This says, I was only away yesterday, but thank you. Thank you. You were missed. Oh, dear. And this is from Jono, and he says, any chance of Today I Started Loving You Again, sung by Emmy Lou Harris. I shall speak nicely to Janet and see if we can get that played for you today. Hi, Sian. Can you please play Rambles of Spring? Rambles of Spring on this fine day. This is a request from Trevor in Belfast. Good morning to you, Trevor in Belfast. Johnny Fee, I say belated birthday greetings to you. I wish you a belated birthday. Did I say I wish you belated birthday greetings? Well, happy birthday. It was on Friday. And also you want to say hello to your good friend Walter McNeil. Johnny tells me that on Friday he celebrated his 40th birthday again. Johnny Fee, you can celebrate your 40th birthday every year. That doesn't matter. I've yet to reach it. I refuse to go there. Oh, dear. I know. Philomena in Belfast rings. Hello, Sian. My friend, Dolores McCabe, has a special birthday. Could you please wish her all the best? And this is from Carl and Philomena in Belfast. I'm from daughter Annie in New Zealand. Husband, Len, and son, Paul, in Cornwall. I think that's son, Paul, in Cornwall. Well, Janet, maybe our friend Paul, the Coast Guard man or the helicopter man. I think it may well be him. I'm not quite sure. Let's keep in with him because we're trying to get a free holiday in Cornwall with him. So let's keep in with Paul. I'm tired today. Let me tell you why I'm tired today. Because on my day off, I decided I would cut the grass front and back. Not once did I cut it. I cut it twice and then I attacked the hedges. Do you know what I did, Janet, yesterday? I said to myself, I'm going to treat myself to a game of golf. And I get into the car. I went out to the golf course and I said, that's too good a day for golf. And I went back to the house and cut more grass. I'm off my head. Anyway, and Janet's tired today as well because she's danced the weekend away at the jazz festival. She had an absolute ball, but she's been tired dancing. I never heard a note played. Not one note played. Janet says, shame on you. Neither did the undertone, for goodness sake. And he's a rock star.
Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow flow straight to my lover's heart for me.
Good afternoon, you're listening to The News at One with me, Dean McLaughlin. Today's headlines: a judge rules against the extradition of a dying County Tyrone man over his alleged role in a Dublin gangland murder. And a Derry man is jailed for a racially motivated attack on a Romanian man.
I'm Barry White with The Sport. Could Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill be on his way? And it's a big night for Institute as they aim to move a step closer to Premiership promotion.
And on the Mark Patterson Show today with me, Anne-Marie McAleese, come fly with me to London twice a day now from City of Derry Airport and the staggering amount of food waste created by UK restaurants. Could doggy bags be the answer? You can get in touch on 71266522.
A very good afternoon to you. You're listening to The News at One with me, Dean McLaughlin, on BBC Radio Foyle. Our top story today: and a 29-year-old man with dozens of previous criminal convictions has been jailed for 22 months at Londonderry Crown Court for several offences, including the racial abuse of a Romanian man. Theresa Craig has the details. Theresa, the court was told that this was a crime motivated by hate. Is that right?
The court was, yes, Dean. Ryan McLaughlin, who is from O'Connor Court in the Ballymergoity area of the city, he has 77 previous convictions. Now, he admitted attacking his victim and attempting to hijack the car in the Victoria car park on Strand Road in the early hours of the morning in May 2015. The court was told that members of a police mobile patrol, they saw the distressed victim, whose face was covered in blood, outside the car park where he told officers he had been attacked. The barrister said that the victim had previously recalled sitting in his car when McLaughlin, who had been thrown out of a local bar for being drunk and abusive, knocked on the driver's side window of the car. The victim opened the door of the vehicle. He asked, and McLaughlin asked him for a cigarette. When he was given one, the defendant was punched. The defendant punched him several times around the head, pulled him from his car, and punched him to the ground.
Well, it's said that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So when American Ron Kregeski first introduced his horse Metro to an easel, there was no guarantee he was going to paint. But I should say he did. The painting horse has now gone viral on the internet, and I spoke to Ron earlier.
Yeah, he was a very good racehorse. He raced on the New York circuit, Belmont and Saratoga. But, you know, he always had knee issues. He had two knee surgeries during his racing career. He came back. He won races. Eventually, his knees just it couldn't run anymore on him. He was prone to bone chips in his knees, and they were just so damaged that but he was still, they still kept running him, and he ended up in a lower track here in Pennsylvania, and that's when we became aware of him. But, I mean, we just loved the guy. We loved his personality, and we rehabbed him. We got him to the point to where we could lightly trail ride him again, but his knees just caught up with him. And he was only given, you know, 1 or 2 years left to live because his knees were so damaged. His body was generating bone growth in his knees, and it was just a matter of time before his knees locked up and he wouldn't be able to stand up on his own. So that's when, you know, I was looking for something for him to do, some way to spend time with him. And so, you know, being an artist, I thought, well, you know, if he can't do what horses do, maybe he can do what I can do. So, you know, I taught him to hold a paintbrush in his mouth, and, you know, he took to stroking it on canvas. And amazingly, I mean, he loves painting.
All the time, I have two dogs. I take the meat home for the dogs.
But would you take a doggy back home for yourself, too?
Oh, no, no, never, no.
Why would you not do that?
In case they would go off, he would get poisoned. No way, no. Not that I've been holidaying away in America and that, and they all do it over there. They take it home, stick it in the fridge, but I think here people don't do that.
The only thing I won't take is a vegetable, because the vegetables can get kind of, you know, like broccoli will get...
But that is part of the main
but
course.
But if it's this fish or a steak or a nice piece of chicken or something, yeah, we'll definitely... Yes. And if it's something with curry in it, I'll definitely take it home.
No, we go out regularly, fairly regularly, my wife and I. But, and occasionally, we do bring a doggy bag, but not for her.
Not for a dog?
No, not for a dog.
Not for yourself.
Yeah, or beaten by somebody else back home. Because some nights I just don't feel up to eating everything that's there. And before I would touch it, I would say, I'm definitely not going to eat that, and then do it. I mean, if the food's good enough when they set it down in front of you, I don't see what problem there is with them wrapping it up.
And has anyone ever refused you?
I think it was because they just didn't want to bother doing it. They said, no, it's health and safety, you can't do it. Ridiculous. I mean, she's eating the food she's going to take out their dog. So,
if I was hungry and enjoying the meal, I would finish the meal. I would try and finish the meal. It would be seemingly rather stingy to take it home. It looks the way I want complete value for my money here.
Do you take home a doggy bag, would you ask?
Aye, all the time, surely. And I don't have a dog.
Well, for yourself, absolutely. But do you think it's embarrassing to ask?
Well, my wings would be embarrassed, but I wouldn't be a butt. So one, not a butt. You pay for it, I pack it home and eat it. She'll eat it the next morning.
This very definitely puts you in the category, Ian, of an ultra runner.
Yes,
so, and
indeed.
You don't become an ultra runner overnight, I'm guessing. So this is something you have been working up to, or have you always been into this?
Well, I did my first ultra run way back, probably around the year 2000 or so. So I've been at it quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for me, what I've discovered is the longer the event, the better I am.
Oh, so you're an endurance man.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the thing.
Even an ultra, some of us divided up so that... say up to 100 kilometres would be considered speed ultras, because a marathon runner could do that with very little
I was just going to say, we were talking about the marathon and running in general yesterday, and we were also talking about smoking, complete opposite, but one of the men that came onto the programme was saying that he had stopped smoking, and he used the word thran, which is a real Northern Irish word, a real north of Antrim word, and it means stubborn. It means, you know, you get your teeth gritted, and there is, now I'm guessing that's a quality that you must have in spades.
I think I must have it, yeah. There's no two ways about it. To go through that and all the factors of potential pain, and even without that, probably my least favourite part of it is sleep deprivation. And, you know, that can be horrendous.
Now, tell me about that. How does that work? Because, I mean, you can't run through the night.
I ran all through the first night.
So you did?
Just took about over the course until... I deliberately started at 8, the idea being... that I'd get through the first night and then the daylight would keep me awake all the way till about 9 the following day before I'd have to take a sleep.
The Northern Ireland Mental Health Charity is fundraising in Derry on Friday the 5th of May, this Friday, and they need volunteers on the day to help them on the day. So CAUSE is a regional charity which provides practical and emotional support for carers of loved ones with serious mental illness, and they're doing a bag pack at Sainsbury's supermarket on the Strand Road this Friday and require volunteers for just a few hours to help. So this can be any time between 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. Now if you can help, you can contact John O'Neill on 02890 650 650. That's 02890 650 650. And if you want that number, just give us a wee call here, 712-66522, and we'll give that out to you as well. Now, just to let you know about our spot prizes today, we've got a lunch for two people in Badgers. We also have two tickets to Classic Rock USA in the Millennium Forum on Saturday, the 6th of May, this coming Saturday at 8 p.m. And it says here, Classic Rock USA is a heart-pumping, drum-beating and pulsating rock extravaganza featuring a totally awesome cast singing over 25 hits from Brian Adams, John Bon Jovi and the boss himself, Bruce Springsteen. So there you go, we've got two tickets for that coming up a wee bit later on. Let's go to our own neck of the woods right now, and this is Little Hooks and Home.
1, 2, 3, 4. Dear Hilltop Kingdom, where she is my.
...93.1 FM and 792 medium wave, BBC Radio 4.
BBC Radio 4 News at 4 o'clock with Anna Maguire. A judge has ruled against the extradition of a County Tyrone man over his alleged role in a Dublin gangland murder. The ruling came after it emerged that Kevin Murray is dying. Kevin Sharkey reports.
Kevin Murray, who's 47, is wanted in connection with the killing of David Byrne at the Regency Hotel in Dublin last year. Byrne was shot dead during a boxing weigh-in at the venue. The murder ignited a feud between members of the rival Kinahan and Hutch gangs. Many people have died since in the feud. Murray is wanted by the Irish authorities for alleged offences of murder and possession of a firearm with intent. Petition proceedings came to an end at Belfast Recorder's Court today when it emerged that Murray was diagnosed with rapidly deteriorating and terminal motor neuron disease. Judge Smith said it's clear from a doctor's report that Murray is dying from the disease.
A 29-year-old man with dozens of previous criminal convictions has been jailed for 22 months at Londonderry Crown Court for several offences, including the racial abuse of a Romanian man. Ryan McLaughlin, who's from O'Connor Court in the Ballymurgorty area of the city, has 77 previous convictions.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by, walk on by. Now you really gotta go, so walk on by. Mm-hmm. Baby, leave, you never see the tears of cry.
Dionne Warwick and Walk On By. And before that, we had Haydn's Trumpet Concerto performed there. Who was it performed that? I've completely lost the information. It was Munich Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Hans Stadelmeier. And before that, I asked the question, which famous footballer was born on this day in 1975? Eamon McCorry has got it right. Damien McCluskey's got it right too. It's not Leo Messi. It's not Ronaldo. It's not Wayne Rooney. But we've got a correct answer in from Liam Kelly, from Damien Donaghy. Joe Doherty's got it right. Betty McMullen and Matthew Maguire have given us the right answer too. There's a correct answer in from Kevin in Culmore. Jim from Woodburn, you've got it right. I'm going to play one of your suggestions in just a second. Correct answer in today from Terry from Derry, who's also mentioned Queen, good old-fashioned lover boy. We've got a correct answer in from Cameron, who else has got it right today. TPL has got it right and asks, has A Good Year for the Roses been played by Elvis Costello? So thanks very much indeed for those. There's a correct answer coming through from Some Yumfla as well on the programme today. And Mark the Painter has got it right too. So which famous footballer was born on this day in 1975. That's our quiz question this afternoon. Now let's get back to our theme. Jim from Woodburn sent me a wonderful list this afternoon, and this one was on it. This is Amy Winehouse, and You Know I'm No Good.
Meet you downstairs in the bar and
another The marvellous and miraculous X-ray specs, the day the world turned day glow. 1978, I'm sure that came out as a single, 1978. Apparently they're nearly there with the money for a film about the life of the singer, Polystyrene. Good luck with that. My wallet's in my other coat, sorry about that. But sometimes I think that the records of X-ray specs are kind of overshadowed by the persona of Polystyrene. She was brilliant. She wrote the songs. But sometimes I get the impression sometimes people forget the records. That's for the person who tweeted a suggestion last week. I did mean to write down the name, but I forgot. So if you want to claim credit for suggesting X-ray specs, at Mickey Undertone is my Twitter name. Mickey Bradley Record Show here until 9 and then here again until 10 o'clock. That wasn't a hit. This was a hit, though. Boy, why, why? Malcolm McLaren's other big idea after the Sex Pistols. Although this one, I think, proved difficult for some people. Not the music, but, you know, the idea that he recruited a 15-year-old girl to be the singer of a band that were made up of former members of Adam and the Ants. Former, because I've heard that they were persuaded to leave Adam for a better life by Malcolm whispering in their ears. Anyway, the records are great. Couldn't get a better life in the country. I don't know. Properly in years. That's a big record. Johnny Cash, The Mercy Seat, of course. Much better than the original by Nick Cave, if only because you can hear the words. I know that sounds like your granddad talking, but really, I don't know what Nick was thinking about. Buried, a great song under an average record, but there, Johnny Cash, that's the definitive version. Mickey Bradley Records Show, time for some of the Guildford Stranglers. Now, 1977, this came out. I think this may have been released on Pink Flecked vinyl. I certainly saw a version of it on pink flecked vinyl. Not necessarily the style that you would have most associated with Hugh Cornwell and Jean-Jacques Burdell, is it? No. But you know what? It was bold and effective. It was strong and stable. This is Something Better Change.
These Rolling Hills from Tim Grimm and the Family Band. It's taken from his new album, A Stranger in This Time. Just a lovely selection of tracks. As they say, lots of great music to come this evening. Jackson Browne, The Wiloways, Lillian Madeline, and of course another track from the Late Show Artist of the Week this week, Willie Nelson.
This was my life.
Mary Byrne, and Thank God That This Was My Life. I played it before and had quite a few people asking me about it. Words perhaps that resonate with many. Well, time now for the Late Show Lullaby from a duo you can catch in the Sunflower Bar in Belfast. That's tomorrow night as part of the Cathedral Quarter Arts Festival. From Josiane Clark and Ben Walker, here's Overnight. I'll talk to you tomorrow. For now, though, good night.